Hello.
Okay. How about now, Brandon? We were just talking about Delilah, so, I mean, you didn't miss anything.
Check, check.
Got hey. It. Hey. Hey.
We're not that dumb.
I'm not going to say. All right, Bryce. So, how's your Sunday?
Good so far.
Yeah. What do you got going today?
Not much. Go work out later. I downloaded Arnold's workout app.
Like,
download now at the App Store.
Does it really?
Yeah, no, it's, I've only used it for one day. He did another ad for like, it was like it's called like Mobile Strike or something. It was like a war game.
Okay. Download now at the App Store.
And it really, like, does it say that?
No.
Oh, it should.
Although it's weird because you download this, the Arnold app, and like the first thing that comes on, it says, you're getting a FaceTime from Arnold. And then he comes on, he's like, hey, what's going on, everybody? He's like, this app is all about positivity and talking about like being positive about weightlifting. I'm like, I just needed workouts.
You know, I've seen a couple old videos of him like in the gym, and he seems to be, unless it was stage, which it could have been because back in that time, the camera was this big. Mm. But it's like he seemed to be very positive and like, you know, so whatever.
Yeah, there's plenty of documentaries
on
like Netflix and stuff about him and his lifting and stuff. But anyway, it's kind of a cool app. We got workouts and stuff and
pick things up, put things down.
Yep, that's right.
All righty. So really, we don't have a ton of stuff to talk through, but the two things is we went to Refuge Ruckus, and that the Ruck March part of it is actually happening right now. You were watching it on live. Yep. So if you guys aren't familiar, Caleb House spent a little bit of time last night just kind of learning about them. And what they do is that they save and rehabilitate sex trafficking children. So the children that have been in the sex trafficking or trafficked, they go find them, they rescue them, and then they rehabilitate them back into the world. So it was an amazing event Friday. But so what they're doing is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they had their first inaugural Ruck March. Mm. So it was kind of their annual fundraiser, but it was the very first one. Lots of speakers. They had anywhere from, you know, somebody talk about homesteading. They had Bob was just kind of talking his story. It was just a really cool event. So we went down on Friday and just had the booth and did some fundraising, a little bit of fellowship. They had 15 people baptized that very first day.
Wow.
Like, so it was pretty cool how they, so, I mean, it's not pushing religion down your throat, but they are a religious organization. I mean, Caleb House is, I think, I want to say they're Jewish based, but, and so there was lots of prayer and just fellowship. But one of the things they did during Bob's time is they had people that, I mean, I'm assuming they either pre-talked about it or they volunteered during the time, but they had 15 people get baptized.
That's awesome.
Which is, I mean, that was insane.
Yeah, super cool.
So just an amazing event, really just the Refuge folks. I mean, Foe and Bob and TJ, all of them are just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So, and then I met people from Ohio, from Kentucky, Rhode Island was the furthest.
Huh. That's a trick.
Yeah, he was gonna ruck. So, so what they're doing is that they did the all day kind of speakers Friday, and it was various things. I mean, like I said, the homesteading or all that, and then Saturday would have been I wasn't there, so I'm assuming it's a day of worship, and then today is the ruck. So yeah, we were able to raise about $1,000 from. So hoodie wise, we sold out of all the larges and extra larges, wow. Which was phenomenal. So I got to do another reorder with Overland Apparel. That was just it was a cool thing. So during Bob's speech, he was really pushing, or TJ did, if you don't have a tribe, get one and get one now. And so I was joking about that last night with you like you're part of my tribe. But it just kind of rang true that TJ, it was cool to hear Bear, if you know differently, it was cool to hear him kind of share his thoughts of, and I felt the same way anytime we do anything, that he was just like, I am 1% of what this is.
Yep.
And that's kind of the same thing how I am with Project Tribute is it just takes a big old army to do it. So
yep. That's right.
So, what else? What did you do this weekend?
Worked.
That sucks.
Yeah. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Just work. Gotta do
work, work. Somebody wants to join us on TikTok and I'm gonna decline. Well, the name was, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sus.
Yep, a little bit. So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit today about what is taxpayer funded and what isn't. Mm. And so I reached out to a couple of my friends. It's a question that I get asked so often that I think that we just need to keep kind of growing stories. So if you're with us live and you are a first responder, I'd love to hear, what have you personally purchased? You don't have to tell us any details of like what agency or whatever, but what's interesting is the reason I think that we got kind of radio silence on this is, in essence, if you're saying my employer didn't get this, you could get, you know, leadership looking down on you on like, why are you airing our business?
Sure.
But the most common question I got asked just on Friday is, you know, why are you doing this? Isn't this all taxpayer funded? Yeah. That, I mean, that's probably the most common question that I get asked. And so I just thought, let's answer that today, and we'll just keep on working through it. I had several folks last night reach out and they bought their own bulletproof vests. Mm.
That's a big deal. That's a big thing.
That's basic.
Yeah.
I mean, simple as that. And so you can speculate why a bulletproof vest isn't funded. I mean, it can be anywhere from like, I'm looking into doing a reserve program somewhere and I'm going to have to buy all the gear, mm-hmm. the vest, the pistol, anything, you know, all the expenses, but the badge and the shirt.
Yep.
So it makes sense on a reserve side that, hey, we don't have extra funding for somebody that may or may not work. That makes sense. But for a full-time, I've heard plenty of stories of, like, we've got a county near us that their bulletproof vests are completely expired, all of them. So they were fundraising for the entire county's deputies to get bulletproof vests.
Jeez.
So I just kind of wanted to see if we could poke that bear and get anyone to share their stories. Mm-hmm. But the reason that we exist is to get gear in hands. And, you know, there's a town in southern Oklahoma that's, have you seen this about the car that keeps breaking down? Mm-mm. It's making all the first responder pages, but they've got a car, when, like, it's a small town that maybe has two or three units. One of them keeps breaking down. So then it goes on the radio, hey, I'm out. Uh-huh. And so then all the scanner communities start posting, you know, unit two is down again, and then all the memes. And so then I've been seeing similar from people from that group. If a car is for sale, they're tagging that police department on. Right. But so if you can't afford as in an agency, a small town, especially like that particular town has minimal business, like, yep. So their tax revenue is minimal. Mm-hmm. So then if they don't have it locally, they would have to go to the state or federal government through grants. I mean, you would see how hard grants are. They're not easy.
No.
So if their patrol car keeps going down and they need the funding for it, do you think they're going to buy a tourniquet? Mm. Right. So that's kind of what we see and why we exist is that there's lots of just the ancillary stuff, the first aid supplies. And I mean, I got to be honest, like I was thinking about this last night of all the gear that I've got to purchase. And I last night I was like, I never even thought I need to buy a tourniquet. Mm. In my list of what I need to buy, tourniquet wasn't on it. Mm. So,
nuts.
So yeah. So if, you know, this is, I mean, it's early, it's daylight savings time, but I am curious if you're willing to share of you, a family member, friend, whatever, just chat in the comments. What have you had to personally purchase? Or that you know a first responder has had to purchase. Because I think that's one of the biggest barriers that we have to fundraising is, well, that should be funded. Well, it should be every bit of it.
Yeah.
It's not.
Nope.
I mean, so I wanted to kind of just throw that question out there and see if we can get anybody to help us kind of tell that story. But the primary stuff that we are asked for, the wild stuff is fire hose, fire hose and turnout. And bulletproof vest or shield, whatever. You would think that's basic PPE, but it's items that are not funded. So
I think we spoke with, I think it was James, Mr. James Brown. He said,
Lord,
he had to buy, I thought we said like over $6,000 in gear.
Yeah, that's total. That's basically what I'm budgeting is somewhere around there by the end of it. And that's not even if he ends up going into the higher level stuff. Mm-hmm. yeah, he's going to spend even more money. I mean, even yesterday there was a group, I guess Friday, there was a group that had their night vision and.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, you have kind of a mix. You have a mix of it's a leadership issue. So the comment is, it blows my mind that departments don't supply the things that they need to save lives. Yeah. I mean, so we have funded, we paid for two officers to go get defensive tactic instructor certified. Therefore, they could go train and get their other folks certified. We funded the Stop the Bleed training, where several of them said that this is the best training, and that was through Refuge, but they hadn't received anything of that caliber before. Tourniquets is, I mean, our town's got big business, and our town's got a lot of tax base, but tourniquets wasn't on the line item.
Yeah. Well, there's a range of issues, because like with departments like, you know, maybe the bigger cities, it should be taxpayer funded, but then a lot of obviously like volunteer departments, it's not.
Yeah.
It can't be because they're volunteer.
That is grants and donations.
Yeah. So
the I mean, I had one department that I found a grant that would only serve them, and it was specifically for that agency, and that kind of the area that they serve. And I said, hey, I found a grant that I could buy tourniquets with. Is that something you need? And the chief of police responded, "What's a tourniquet?"
Ouch.
Right. And then I was like, well, so I had to explain to the chief of police what a tourniquet was, and that I found a grant that I can apply for that he wouldn't qualify for. Is this something that he would like? Mm-hmm. The answer was no. Hmm. So
I think there's just maybe a lack of understanding in some respects.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you do have some older leadership that, you know, they started back in the 70s and 80s, and it's just. So in the 90s, tourniquets were do not use, and then they're kind of making their way back. So I think that it's a mix of leadership knowledge, leadership. There's that old school. Like I heard one that we were offering to, hey, you know, what about doing a rescue dummy, where if you're going to practice an extrication or extraction of a person out of a vehicle, just, you know, that's what that rescue dummy is. And his answer was, why would I pay money, or why would you pay money when I can just put a recruit in there? Fair,
I guess.
Right. Like that's, so then the recruit doesn't get to learn. And then like, hopefully no one gets hurt during training.
Yeah.
Cause that never happens. Yeah. So I think, sometimes it's hard to change the older generation. Absolutely. I mean, I do. So it's a mix. So some of it is that the taxpayer dollars doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Some of it is that leadership doesn't want it.
Well, and it shouldn't be that hard, considering this is stuff that saves people's lives, especially with something like a tourniquet.
Yeah.
Like maybe there's some other stuff that you could say, well, I mean, you know, whatever. But with tourniquets, I mean, it's not, no, there's no argument there. It's
right.
A fact.
Well, and that's kind of why, you know, if I will prioritize an IFAC or an individual first aid kit way before a ballistic shield. Mm-hmm. There's lots of people out there handing out ballistic shields. Mm-hmm. There's not many doing tourniquets,
which is nuts.
Right.
Because it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah. And the thing about the ballistic shields is I've seen plenty of organizations that are handing them out that are pistol rated, not rifle rated.
And that's a problem too.
That's a big problem. You're walking
most of the time. You're not bringing a ballistic shield to fend off a handgun.
Correct.
You might be, but odds are not in your favor there.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is you can shoot through the shield to get them too, I guess. I mean, it's a two way. When we were reserve officers, we had to buy much of our own, especially if we wanted to update equipment. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of officers still today that, I mean, I've done several ride alongs, and one of them, it was a radio and a notepad. That's it. 100%. That's it. Like no camera, no dash cam, a radio and a notepad.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's, if officers have to fund it themselves, I mean, myself included, I made my list, and this is what I do. And I didn't have a tourniquet on my list.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
That is wild.
Like I mean I figured it out last night. I was like, holy heck, I'm this doesn't look right. But I mean, it is, if an IFAC can be as expensive as a pistol, well, I'm gonna need the pistol.
Yes, that's true.
So you know, and then especially if you look at a lot of these officers, they're making $30,000, $40,000, maybe, you know, if they're in their, they're up there in age.
That's not fair either, but that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah. I mean, I knew an officer that when they were shot in the line of duty, they were making $13 an hour, and they've not been able to return to duty yet. $13. You can go to Taco Bell and make more than that.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yep.
So So I think that that's the biggest misconception that we face is, why would I donate? That should be taxpayer funded. It should be. Absolutely. It is not.
Nope.
We have put tourniquets on fire engines, on ambulances, on police cars.
In schools.
Yeah, in schools, in federal and state agencies, we have put tourniquets in their hands.
So keep in mind, they didn't have that before.
Correct.
It was not there.
Numerous state agencies, we have put tourniquets in their field offices, in their SWAT, their TAC meds.
Yeah.
Like,
and by and large, not of any fault of their own.
Nope.
But
it was just not a line not item that they. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it is not taxpayer funded. And I mean, it's like, well, they can afford the MRAP. Most agencies were given those MRAPs for hundreds of dollars, not thousands. It was a government program they overbought, and then they were like, well, let's give these out to the little guys. But I mean, like, we're in Susie's area. All of their deputies are wearing expired bulletproof vests. They were fundraising for them. I shouldn't have to fundraise for basic needs. So I hope that there's a day where Project Tribute's not needed, or we figure out a different way to go. But we're not there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. That's rough.
Yeah. So, I would love to, this is one that I kind of hope that this kind of takes on and people start chiming in, after the fact. But if you're a first responder and you have had to purchase gear of yourself, or you've had a barrier to getting gear, I'd love to hear it. And you can private message if you don't want the world to see, because that's the other thing is, we're in essence asking somebody to say, hey, tell me what your boss or what your employer didn't provide you.
Right.
So it's a dicey topic. And that's why I expected radio silence yesterday. But I do want to kind of keep poking that bear of understanding why.
Yeah, I get that too. But at some point, there needs to be some clarity, like what, and even from the, and, you know, it's just, I guess, my own opinion, but even from, like, you know, the upper level, the upper echelons of, you know, the leadership, there should be some ability to recognize, like, hey, this is stuff we could use, but there are, you know, reasons why we can't get it, or funding's not there, you know.
Yeah.
To go other places.
I mean, like, in our town, I can see it that, you know, they did a campaign to fix the buildings, the infrastructure. And they did a great job on that. It was definitely needed. Well, so in the midst of a capital campaign, you're not going to think about the small stuff. I know here that they also, the officers were given a equipment allowance. So then it became up to the officers to buy whatever they needed. And that wasn't happening either.
Well, then you get the problem too of, like, counterfeit equipment or the bad stuff.
Well,
because you can go on Amazon right now and probably find a pair of tourniquets for $15 or less.
Yeah, we ran into that. One of the very first suppliers that we had, they shipped us a case of tourniquets, and they were tourniquets. I mean, they were legitimate tourniquets, but they were knockoff Cat 7s, and that was before it kind of made national news. Well, what happened is that they got sued by Cat 7, by North American Rescue, and got put out of business.
Yep.
So that's why they shipped us a case of free tourniquets. So, like, one of the very first things, we fell into that. And so it's very easy when you're looking at cheap.
Yeah, or even we've got that ballistic shield back there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, bullets went right through it.
Like butter.
Yeah. So
didn't do what it was supposed to do.
No, and I mean, that was $750 to learn. That didn't work.
Yeah. That could have been in somebody's hands.
100%. Yeah. The equipment realm is weird. And that's kind of where the things that we do not only just gets equipment in their hands, but gets the right equipment in their hands. I wish that it was all department funded. I really do. And I wish that their budgets were such that we weren't needed. I don't foresee that happening anytime soon. As the, you know, defund police mantra keeps going.
Yeah.
I just don't see
it. It'll get worse. Yeah.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Well, and it's politicized. I mean, the kind of what's coming up is going to dictate the next 4 years for how well we do or how bad we do, and how much more requests we get.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting one. So if you're hanging with us, we're just kind of trying to answer the question of, that should be taxpayer funded, yet it's not. So we could use your feedback. We could use your insight. Any way that whenever we're trying to go after donors, you know, ways to explain to folks, it's not taxpayer funded. Items such as ballistic shields or bulletproof vest or tourniquets, first aid supplies, they're not being funded. And then like Susie said, if you're reserve, there's nothing taxpayer funded for you except the unit that they put you in.
Yep.
So, and that's kind of part of it. Let's see. I thank you for all the things you do, and Awesome. Thank you, Brandon. Yeah, so we put it's over $240,000 is where we're at. I need to figure out the exact number. My guess is $247,000. It's somewhere in between there. And then that's 17 lives saved so far that we know of.
Yep.
I bet there's a couple out there that just
weren't
reported with the in this count, the three counties alone, the amount of tourniquets out there because of us. Yeah. There's got to be more.
Yeah.
So,
and if you want to contribute to that, you can text Bleed Kit to 918-856-3977, and you can be the reason that a first responder has the gear that they need in their hands.
Yep. So we will fund for anything that can save a life. So that's anything. If it can save a life, that's right within what we do. Yep. So, all right. So shirts.
Yeah.
The if you guys are looking for ways to help us and to help fund and support us, one thing you can do is go to www.projecttribute.com, and there is an apparel store on that website. Those shirts, we get them from Overland Apparel, and they've got a link on their store for us. That's one of the ways that we fundraise, is just through the shirt sales. We also do the direct donations, or you can even just buy gear and hand it to us. I mean, Refuge Medical has been phenomenal. If you're looking for, like, if you have a health savings account, Refuge Medical is an expense you can buy from. And if you've got, hey, towards the end of the year, I've got money that I don't know what to do with, buy some bleed kits and send them to us.
Yep.
So lots of different options. There's the IRA disbursements at the end of the year as well. We had several folks this last year that they sent, because you have to, there's a certain amount of money in your retirement stuff that you have to pull out and do something with.
Yep.
They just sent it and donated it to us, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So, so as you kind of keep going through, we're going to start closing it up for the day, but if you've got an expense that you had to pay out of pocket to be a first responder, we'd love to hear it. If you're a volunteer agency, full-time, I'm not going to ask you many questions. I just want to know how much is out there of personally funded items in the hands of our first responders. So,
yeah. And you can always submit a request too, but keep in mind, we have over $400,000 in requests currently. So we've got to try to knock some of those out. So if you can afford to, and if you, feel it on your conscience to help out, you can go on over to projecttribute.com and you can go to the donate tab, or you can text Bleed Kit to 918-856-3977. And then you can set up a monthly donation. We're not asking for much, $5-$10 a month.
And if you do $20 for the month of March, we will send you a free hoodie. Yep. I've got to order some if you're medium or extra large. I'm sorry, large or extra large. But yeah, if you set up $20 or more, we will send you a free hoodie for the month of March.
Yep. So text Bleed Kit to 918-856-3977. And if you set up that $20 a month donation, we will send you on over a hoodie.
Yep. So anything else?
For me.
Awesome. Well, so the just kind of a recap. Friday we had we were over at the Refuge Ruckus. The Ruck March part of it is going on today. Let's see here in May, we've got the Heroes Market happening here.
SWAT?
Yeah, there's the SWAT team one. I need to figure out when that's at, but that's a so we'll take the booth out to that. Mm-hmm. And then we've got in June the Poker Run, and then in August, Baxter Springs Jeep Invasion.
Yep.
So, and then hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'll have the Gladiator. And then the Wrangler is over in Bartlesville Patriot at the moment. So we should be back up and running operationally here any moment.
Yep.
So if you want to donate again,
text Bleed Kit to 918-856-3977. That's 918-856-3977.
Awesome, guys. I really appreciate you, Bryce. Thank you again.
Thank you, sir.